Welcome to Money Moves. This is a program that is trying to take the mystery out of your financial life. We are trying to demystify everything financial, and we are trying to strip away the BS that you're seeing out there in the landscape. I am Jill Schlesinger, certified financial planner. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Tilercio. Say hello to the folks.
Hello, Jill. Co-host or sidekick? What is it?
Both.
Both. Okay. Just so we're clear.
And executive producer of my life. Hey, gang, if you've got something going on in your financial life, get in touch with us. Go to jillonmoney.com. Click the contact us button. You can upload a video there. You can upload audio there. You can check a box to join us live. And you can always just write us a note. We do a mailbag from time to time. It is July, Jillionaires, and there are some big changes to the federal student loan program. Mark.
Fill me in.
The One Big Beautiful Bill Act. I hate saying it. It's just such a mouthful. The tax changes that occurred now mean that there are different things that have happened with the federal student loan program. I mean, some of these changes had to happen. You have opinions about federal student loans, right?
I have opinions about lots of things, yeah.
I know you do. And we've always worried that people tend to borrow a lot of money just because they can, as opposed to having important conversations about how much a family can really afford and how much a person can afford. The annual and aggregate borrowing limits changed as of July 1st for federal student loans. This is not private. Graduate students can borrow up to $20,500 annually with an aggregate limit of 100 grand.
That's graduate students?
Graduate. Now listen to this. There's another level. I know we have smarty pants jillionaires out there. Professional students can borrow up to $50,000 annually with an aggregate limit of $200,000. Do you want to know what professional is? I'm glad you asked.
Well, I'm assuming they think you're making more money at that point.
Pharmacy, dentistry, we need dentists. Veterinary, chiropractic, law, medicine, optometry, osteopathic medicine, podiatry, theology.
Theology.
How did that get in there?
How are they paying that back?
And clinical psychology. Okay. So this is important because all these schools are incredibly expensive now. And so if you're going to go into debt, now your debt has been limited. And also there is a lifetime aggregate limit of $257,500 to federal loans for all levels of study. So now, does this mean, hopefully, that we're going to stop hearing these crazy stories of like, oh, I borrowed $200,000 to go to chiropractic school and I can't actually afford this?
I think on the surface, this is a good thing. I think anytime you can put a limit on the amount of student loans that people can take out, it's a good thing because, you know, we see it all the time. People are up to their necks with debt and it's impossible to get out from under. So yeah, I think on the surface, this is a good thing. But you know, that's still a big number.
It is a big number.
The 200 and whatever you just said, something. That's a big number.
The question comes up around borrowing for school. It does bring up this intergenerational question of what parents need to talk about with their kids. And it's a very uncomfortable conversation. I get it. You basically have to say to your kids when they're in ninth grade.
Yeah, when they're teenagers.
In their ninth grade, not when they're seniors. You need to say, here is the amount of money that we can afford to spend on your education.
Good luck with that.
And it's a tough conversation. That's why Mark only has one child. But the thing is, if you have limited resources. If you've got gobs of money, go pay for your kid's school. I don't care. I don't worry about that. We're talking, we have friends of ours who Mark and I have known for a long time. Like, we had this really good friend from work, and he has three kids. He and his wife live in a high cost of living area in New York City. Together, they make like 300 grand, and they were paying for private high school, and they were getting ready to go to college, and they could not afford to pay for college. They just couldn't.
And the summer camps.
Mark always remembers that. I think having conversations with your kids about what you can and can't afford is so important. You can't wait till they're seniors. You've got to start that conversation, Mark, when they're early in their high school career, ninth grade. That requires you to be honest with yourself. And you know what hurts? I know a lot of parents say, but my parents did it for me. Mm-hmm. That may be true. The landscape has changed. College costs more. Loans cost more to finance. And you know what? What your kid is going to be able to earn on the other side of that degree may also be changing. So just be careful. Have the conversations open, honest, and try not to saddle yourselves. Don't rob yourself of your retirement. And don't saddle your kid with loans.
Sooner rather than later. Because like you said, if you wait to the last minute, it's easy to kind of feel like you're getting, got to keep up with the Joneses, right? The kids are going to have their friends. They're going to see what their friends are doing as juniors and seniors. And why can't I do that? Why can't I go there? So sooner rather than later.
So a few things to remember. As part of these plans, like if you have any question, you've got federal student loans or you're about to get a new loan because you're going back to school, do go to studentaid.gov. Everything is there on that website. Also, here are the loan fixed interest rates. These are not variable. They get set every year. So right now, it's about, I'm going to give you like the average, you know, kind of about. It's just under 6.4% for your direct subsidized loans and direct unsubsidized loans. Unsubsidized graduate or professional markets, just under 8%. And the plus loans, parents or graduates or professional students, almost 9%. Gang, you got to be thinking long and hard about whether you want to borrow money to get this advanced degree. And Mark, it's important for people. We've talked, if you're thinking about this, like, should I go get an advanced degree? Are you going to make more money with that advanced degree or not?
You're going to make a lot more money.
A lot more. You may want to sit it out. You may want to keep working. You might want to wait to see whether you can get some sort of grant or win an award. These are huge numbers, and I am not sure whether or not these programs are going to be worth it or not. And it's important to just factor it all in.
Yeah, I'm not anti-advanced degree, but it has to make sense. The numbers have to make sense.
And just so you know, like one of the great guardrails that someone gave us, I think that Beth Kobliner might have given her books over here, Get a Financial Life. It was an interesting thing. She had said, talked about like borrowing money, and she said, you know, if you're a parent and you're borrowing for your kid, that you should look at your total household income and keep all borrowing for all of your kids under that 1 year of your household income. But for the kid, him or herself or themselves, when you're thinking about loans, think how much money you're going to make on the other side of that. So let's just pretend you're going to business school and you're like, okay, I make $100,000 now. If I have an MBA, then I will be able to make $250,000.
Go for it.
Go for it. But if you're like, I'm going to get a graduate degree and I'm going to be able to maybe make just like $20,000 or $30,000 more.
Not worth it.
Maybe not worth
probably
it.
Probably not.
Probably not. So get in touch with us if you have a question about whether or not you should borrow, should you go back to school or not. I'm happy to weigh in. Also, by the way, professional designations, a lot cheaper. Like Mark and I are both certified financial planners. It costs a few bucks. But if you want a career change, maybe you don't need to get an MBA. Maybe you need a different kind of certification. Get in touch with us. Go to JillOnMoney.com. Click the contact us button. We want to hear about the amount of money you're ready to borrow before you make the decision. Okay, our next Jillionaire is Aaron, who joins us from North Carolina. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Hi, very well, thanks. And you?
Tell us what's going on. How's North Carolina? It's like hot and steamy here in New York.
It's pretty hot. I think we're probably even steamier. I don't know about hotter, but it's certainly steamier here. We had a couple of thunderstorms despite 80-degree weather. And nonetheless, it's very nice here in North Carolina. No complaints on my end.
All right. What brings you to us today? What financial question is niggling at you right now?
So this is a bit of a family conundrum here. It regards my cousin, but my cousin bought a house with his now ex-girlfriend, and both of their names are still on the mortgage. She lives there, so she took the house after the breakup and is making the mortgage payments, but he's worried that his credit is on the hook, depending on her, if she stops paying, for instance, while her family is worried that part of the equity will accumulate to him. She doesn't want to refinance because now the interest rates are much higher than when they purchased. He's wondering what the best way to, and we all are wondering what the best way for him to extricate himself from the situation is.
Okay, I have a quick question. So were they actually legally married or not?
No, they were not legally married at the time. They were just boyfriend and girlfriend. They were expecting to be married, but
yeah, I understand. Like, we like to know that. I'll tell you, the reason I ask that is that I know that when you have a death or a divorce, that this is like an issue that comes up. But when you're legally married, there are some protections. And the problem with not being legally married is that you're kind of on your own. And so, Mark, in this situation, what should they do? because, I mean, this is, to me, a dangerous situation for exactly why Aaron laid out. When you have two people who borrow money for a mortgage, you are not, you're marrying their credit records. And so if one of them falls off and doesn't make the payment, that's bad. And really, it kind of locks you into this situation. So what's the alternative here, Mark?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is the thing that she doesn't want to do, is the refinance.
Yeah.
So if that's off the table.
Is refinance definitely off the table, Aaron?
I think so. The interest rates are quite a bit higher. I think it was, say, 3.1 at the time, and now it's over 6.5. Yeah.
And there's no way we can just sell it and everyone moves on?
I don't believe so, because she's living there. She's an occupant of the house and wants to maintain living there.
Either sell it or somehow, some way, she comes up with a way to buy him out of it.
Can she buy him out? Can she afford to buy him out? What do you think?
This I don't know immediately. I suppose that should be part of the discussion. What I will say is that her family helped contribute a large part of the down payment on the house. Hmm. So my cousin doesn't really want a windfall, you know, with the equity accumulating to him from this. He just wants to extricate himself from the situation and reduce his risk.
I'm on board with him. You know, it's interesting. I ask this. Do they both have legal representation, or is this friendly so far? Is this a friendly breakup or not so friendly?
So I'm pretty sure it has not escalated to legal representation status. It's as friendly as it can be, given that it's a breakup in that sense.
I'm sort of thinking two things. She definitely wants to stay there. That's her choice. So in my mind, I'm like siding with your cousin. Let's be honest. Like, you're coming on our air. We're siding with your cousin. So, you know, we're definitely in the tank for the cousin. And so I would say this. I'm the cousin and I'm like, I don't want this legal obligation. I don't. And by the way, what happens when he wants to buy his own place and now part of his credit history is not just tied up with her, but available mortgage rates might look into this and say, well, you already have a $500,000 mortgage here and now that's going to count against you. So I'm going to force it with, if I'm him, this is what I'm going to say. I understand you want to stay here. You either have to refinance and get me off the note, or you have to just buy me out wholesale. But either way, she's going to have to come up with a way to get him off that note. I don't think he can stay on that note.
No, he's got
a life to live. We don't want him to be precluded from getting another loan. And you know what? Maybe the best thing to do in this case, and I usually hate this as an idea, but maybe they need mediation.
Well, it's probably going to come to that. The note has to go away. And if refinancing isn't an option, if her parents already helped put down a large chunk of the down payment, then maybe they have the funds to just buy him out and get rid of this.
If he gets bought out, he also has to get bought out of the mortgage.
Mortgage has to go away.
That has to go away. So they have to buy him out and also buy out the mortgage. So it's on her family. Otherwise, sorry, sister. Living cousin's
ex. Sell the house.
Sell the house, move on, rent for a while, which is not the worst thing in the world, by the way. You know, like, I know that, like, oh, we all want a great interest rate, but too bad.
That's probably the easiest path.
I think so.
To get rid of this whole entire situation. Just sell the house. Great, she wants to live there. Okay, good. But you'll sell the house, you'll get proceeds. Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere
Start
else.
Over.
Figure it out. And does that feel like tough love, Aaron? Do you think your cousin can, like, be the bad guy or not?
Well, I don't know. I think this is a bit of an unnavigated path for him. That does seem like the most logical, you know, were he a Vulcan, right? That would be the right.
And what's the lesson going forward, Jill?
But I just want to say that lesson for everybody watching. I understand that not everybody has to get married. There are some legal protections if you do get married. So let's just say you are buying a large asset with somebody and you are not married. This now becomes the beginning of what we call a no-nup agreement. You didn't get married, so it's not a prenup. It's not a postnup. You're not married. It's a no-nup. It's an agreement that says, if we do not survive as a couple, this is the disposition of this asset. This is what happens. And I think this is so important. I know if you don't, listen, I didn't marry my now wife for a long time. You know when I got married? I got married because my best friend died at age 60, and I saw how much easier it was to navigate the estate because she was married. And Jackie and I are like, uh-oh, we better get married. And we had all the documents in the world, but the law protects married couples who break up or have death. And otherwise, you have to lay that out yourself. Think of it this way, Aaron. Let's just pretend that the parents had put the money, her parents put the money down. He's in the house. God forbid she drops dead. Is the family going to let him stay there with his next girlfriend slash wife? There has to be a document that contemplates what happens in the event of. And that's the lesson. And it's a drag. I know it's a bummer. But Mark, so much better. Didn't you have some sort of known-up with 100%. Amanda?
Yeah. When we bought our house together, we had everything documented and written down.
Because they bought a house and they weren't married. Now, Aaron, what are we going to do for you? You're going to be like, can we be your cheerleader? We're going to just say, here is the cousin. He's coming in. Play the episode. If your cousin needs some help, tell him to give us a holler off the air and we'll help him. We'll help him find the cojones to be the bad guy. I'm always the bad guy in a breakup. So I'm happy to help him.
So basically, I should tell my cousin to steal himself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Aaron, we love you. Thank you for putting up with us. Good luck to you and your cousin. Get back in touch with us. Mark, it's a great lesson here. An absolute great lesson. Put it down on paper. You're buying a huge asset together, and we know that relationships fail, bad things happen. Let's think about it before. Get a lawyer who can do this, and you will be much happier. I hope you never need it. Hey, if anyone out there has a question for a cousin, a brother, a sister, or for yourself, don't forget, go to jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and clip yourself on a little video and tell us what's going on. Thank you so much. Okay, it is time for one of our favorite segments. We call it the TikTok Takedown. Now, this is when you see something on social media that has to do with money or someone selling something, or it sounds too good to be true. Maybe it is good. Maybe it's great. I don't know. Send us a video that is reaching out to you through social, and Mark and I will look and listen and determine whether it's something that's legitimate and or whether it's something you should consider. Here we go.
If you put your child on payroll, you can pay your child up to $15,750 without your child needing to file a tax return. That's a $15,750 deduction. Then from the $15,750, you could take $6,000 of it and stuff it into the Roth IRA, money that neither you or the parent paid taxes on. And that money's growing tax-free.
Yeah.
That should absolutely be the mission for families.
Mark, I have heard this many, many times over about putting your kids on the payroll.
Yeah.
First of all, this actually means that you have a payroll that you can put them on. You know, if you're self-employed, there are some ways that you can make this work. And it is true that if your kid is over a certain age, they can open up a Roth IRA. You can open up the Roth IRA for them. You can put the money in. That was a lower number from a while back, but you know, now 7,500. Mark, should people who can put their kids on the payroll put their kids on the payroll?
I mean, if this is something that you already have up and running, like the infrastructure is in place, sure, go for it. Am I doing this for my kid? No, not a chance.
I mean, I think the thing that's funny is that the tax code changes all the time. And I also want to say that even if it's a gimmick that is fine, is it really the best use of the money? You know, we talk all the time to these parents and they're like, well, I put my kid on the payroll and I save this money in taxes. I'm like, okay, but are you maxing out your retirement plan at work? You're not? Oh, why don't we do that first?
Are you contributing to a 529 plan for college?
Maybe we should do that first. So a lot of things that might actually be legitimate as like or legal, fine. Is it the best use of your dollars? I don't know. I mean, I'd really have to know more about everyone. Again, if you've got, if you were, say, self-employed, a production guy, Theo's of an age where you can put him on the payroll and he's going to do something for you and us. He's going to be our research assistant for real. He's like 15, 16 years old. I'm cool with that.
Sure.
Sure. But again, has to make sense for you. Please, you know, when you see these things, these are like tantalizing. Oh, I should do this. It has to make sense for you. Well, gang, that is the program. And thank you so much. If you have a jillionaire question, you know, all you need to do is go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, upload a video, write us a note, do whatever you want to do. We've got a lot of ways to get in touch with us. So just make it happen right there. Also, want to remind you that you should follow us, subscribe to us, do everything you can to spread the word. This show is really important to us and we're just getting it going. So we are relying on jillionaires everywhere to help that happen. Thank you all. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you next time.